Mark and Kenneth, on behalf of Archbishop Chaput, my brother bishops and priests, and my brother deacons, and all the people of God of the Church of Philadelphia, represented here today by your family and friends and fellow parishioners, we offer you our prayers and our congratulations and really an incredible moment on your journey. It's been a long time for you to get here. Not only the 7 years that you were both in the seminary, but all the time that came before that, and the different paths that you both led to get here. But in all of that was God's hand guiding you, at times known to you, and most of the time unbeknownst to you. But at some moment in that journey, you fell in love with Christ. Not because you found him, but actually because he found you. And there began the unfolding of this story that now continues, that has brought you here today, now called by the church, ultimately by the church, to be priest of the Lord Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this is a great day. You bring great joy and great hope to all of us here in Philadelphia. Always remember that you didn't do this alone, right? You wouldn't even be here. You wouldn't even be here if it wasn't for your parents who are here. And Kenneth, your dad watching down upon all of this with great joy, right? Because he's saying, boy, this is number two. So I'm going to ask your parents, your mom, to please stand up. Give them a round of applause for their generosity to the church. So Mark and Kenneth, I'm going to repeat to you actually the advice you gave to your brother seminarians last night. And Mark, don't worry, not in totality. Because I thought that that the words that you shared with your brother seminarians was very wise, actually very wise, which I think now it came from your mouths and your hearts and your minds. But I think it's good for you to hear as well. So last night, the seminary community gathered for a cookout, and at the end, they asked Mark and Kenneth to maybe share some words of wisdom as they were moving on. Kenneth was very quick to remind the seminarians that he would not be back in August, but that he would be with them. Sounded like Jesus at the Ascension, right? So Kenneth, one of the things you said to them was that you were very aware of the fact that tomorrow, this day, right now, this moment, is a moment, but what would happen after that, you don't know, right? That story's not told yet. It is written by God's will, but not revealed to you or to us yet. But to trust that the Lord would guide them. So I offer you as your own advice that this moment doesn't represent the total moment. It actually begins a moment of many moments that are unknown to you. But that wherever the Lord takes you in your ministry, that the Lord will be with you, with both of you. Mark, you spoke to your brother seminarians and you told them to be real. To be real. You told them not to hide behind a facade, but to be real and close to the people. You both actually said that the people of God would teach you how to be priest. And while Bishop Senior and the faculty have done an incredible job informing you and educating you and giving you at least what you need to know, the people of God will teach you, Mark, you're so right. They will teach you by their demands, the demands of ministry and the demands of love, because love is demanding, they will teach you how to be awesome priest day in and day out as the years unfold. I'd like to finish with sharing some words from our Holy Father, who ordained nine men to the priesthood on April 25th. It was Sunday, Good Shepherd Sunday. And he said a lot of things to them, but I'd like to focus on a word that he used in that homily. It was style. He talked about style, about what style of priest they should be, you should be. Let me just share that with you. He said, the service which priests are called to must reflect the way that God has care and continues to care for his people. And then he talked about three styles, three ways of being priest. The style of closeness, the style of compassion, and the style of tenderness. Remember those three words as now your history as priest begins to unfold. Closeness, compassion, and tenderness. In just a few minutes, you will join an incredible fraternity. And you will, over time, come to understand what I came to understand, that once a Philly priest, always a Philly priest. So thank God for the wonderful fraternity of priests that you will become a part of as you become priest of Jesus Christ. Let us now listen to the words of the church as the church instructs you and the people of God on this incredible day. Beloved brothers and sisters, because these are sons who are your relatives and friends, are now to be advanced to the order of priest, consider carefully the nature of the rank in the church to which they are about to be raised. It is true that God has made his entire holy people a royal priesthood in Christ. Nevertheless, our great priest himself, Jesus Christ, chose certain disciples to carry out publicly in his name and on behalf of mankind a priestly office in the church. For Christ was sent by the Father, and he in turn sent the apostles into the world so that through them and their successors, the bishops, he might continue to exercise his office of teacher, priest, and shepherd. Indeed, priests are established co-workers of the order of bishops, with whom they are joined in the priestly office and with whom they are called to the service of the people of God. After mature deliberation, these our brothers are now to be ordained to the priesthood in the order of the presbyterate, so as to serve Christ the teacher, priest, and shepherd, by whose ministry his body, that is the church, is built and grows into the people of God, a holy temple. In being configured to Christ, the high eternal priest, and joined to the priesthood of the bishops, they will be consecrated as true priests of the New Testament, to preach the gospel, to shepherd God's people, and to celebrate the sacred liturgy, especially the Lord's sacrifice. Now, dear sons, you are to be raised to the order of the priesthood. For your part, you will exercise the sacred duty of teaching in the name of Christ the teacher. Impart to everyone the word of God which you have received with joy. Meditating on the law of the Lord, see that you believe what you read, that you teach what you believe, and that you practice what you teach. In this way, let what you teach be nourishment for the people of God. Let the holiness of your lives be a delightful fragrance to Christ's faithful, so that by word and example, you may build up the house which is God's church. Likewise, you will exercise in Christ the office of sanctifying. For by your ministry, the spiritual sacrifice of the faithful will be made perfect, being united to the sacrifice of Christ, which will be offered through your hands in an unbloody way on the altar, in union with the faithful in the celebration of the sacraments. Understand, therefore, what you do and imitate what you celebrate. As celebrants of the mystery of the Lord's death and resurrection, strive to put to death whatever in your members is sinful and to walk in newness of life. Remember, when you gather others into the people of God through baptism, and when you forgive sins in the name of Christ and the church in the sacrament of penance, when you comfort the sick with holy oil and celebrate the sacred rites, when you offer prayers of praise and thanks to God through the hours of the day, not only for the people of God but for the whole world, remember then that you are taken from among men and appointed on their behalf for those things that pertain to God. Therefore, carry out the ministry of Christ the priest with constant joy and genuine love, attending not to your own concerns, but to those of Jesus Christ. Finally, dear sons, exercising for your part the office of Christ, head and shepherd, while united with the bishop and subject to him, strive to bring the faithful together into one family, so that you may lead them to God the Father through Christ in the Holy Spirit. Keep always before your eyes the example of the Good Shepherd, who came not to be served, but to serve, and who came to seek out and save what was lost.